We've been in a series titled The Growth of the Church. And we've talked about how God has given us a promise of what he wants to do in us and through us going forward. And today is part three in that series. And there's a key verse. It's in your notes, in which it's been an anchor verse, God's word to us that we lean into. And I'd like for us to read that together. And so it's in your notes, and also Jonica will put it up on the screen. Let's read it. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how God can take the least of us and turn it into a thousand. Now, we said the least. It was interesting. God loves people who consider themselves the least. His word says that. And not only that, we find that he sees potential in people who consider themselves the least. And we found that with Gideon. Gideon was a thresher of wheat, a farmer, and the angel of the Lord, Christ himself, drops into his life, and he calls him a mighty warrior. Gideon, he says, how can that be? I am the weakest and the least of my family. God saw potential in Gideon that nobody else saw. He sees potential in you. And so we find that God uses, or he sees potential in people. And then lastly, he uses the least. You know, Paul said this, he was the chief of sinners. I don't know what your past is. We all have one. We're not proud of it. Paul had a past that he was not proud of. And we find that he said he was less than the least of the apostles. Get that. He felt he was less than the least. Paul had a bad past, but God forgave him through grace, changed his heart, and he wrote a whole bunch of the New Testament. You see, God uses people who consider themselves the least when we come to him. And you know what he does with the least? He turns them into a thousand. Last week, we talked about the smallest of mighty nation. We looked at the life of Joseph. Joseph was like a 17-year-old kid. He had there were a total of 12 brothers, but total 12 together. And his brothers were jealous and envious of him. And you know what they did? They sold him into slavery. They wanted to kill him, but they backed off. And they sold him to a group of Midianites who were passing through, and Joseph went to a land of Egypt, a place he didn't want to go to, and he would spend the rest of his life there. And so Joseph's life was like a dot, a simple dot. And a dot is something that's very small. When you're small, you're almost less than average. You might be here today and say, you know what? That's me. That's my life. I feel so small in life. I don't have this. I can't do that. Let me tell you, God can take a dot and turn it into a mighty nation. And so you know the story. Joseph, for 13 years, age 17 to 30, bounced around. He was in Potiphar's house. He was accused unjustly by Potiphar's wife of an advance. Potiphar, and so he got thrown into prison, into jail, and he spent time there. You know what he had to do in that 13-year period? He had to learn to forgive people who had done him wrong. You may be here this morning, and you feel like life has been unfair to you. And maybe it has, but can I tell you, that's how life is. Life will deal us unfairness in different doses at different times. And we find Joseph had to deal with that unfairness in his life. But let me tell you what happened. He knew how to deal with it properly. And during that 13-year period of being bounced around, he had to learn to forgive his family, his brothers. He had to learn to forgive Potiphar for throwing him into prison. He probably had to forgive himself for what he felt like he brought on himself. Or maybe, God, this is unfair. But let me tell you what happened. He dealt with it through forgiveness. He kept his heart clean. And you know what happened? It prepared him for greatness. When you deal with the unfairness of life the correct biblical way, and you learn to forgive yourself and others, your heart is being prepared for the next assignment for greatness. So at the age of 30, he's in the prison. But word gets around that he can interpret dreams, and he interpreted Pharaoh's dream of there's 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine in a 14-year period. The 7 years of famine would eat up the years of plenty. He could interpret that for Pharaoh, and this is what Pharaoh did. He made him the number two person in Egypt. For 13 years, he waited. But God took a dot, one life. And over time, then his family came to Egypt because they were hungry, and there were about 70 of them that came to live in Egypt then. And then 400 years later, the total number of people had turned into 2 million. Started with a dot. You see, the least of you can become 1,000. The smallest can become a mighty nation. Today, part 3. I'm going to look at the last phrase or phrases in this verse where it says this, I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. That's our primary text today. And I want to share with you 3 truths about the Lordship of Christ. I want us to understand the way you become 1,000, the way you become a mighty nation when you start small, is under the Lordship of Christ. So 3 thoughts today in the message. That's it. About the Lordship of Christ, let's get started. Number 1 in your notes. The Lordship of Christ is when I surrender all I know about myself to all I know about God. Pretty simple. Every room of my heart, every compartment of life, I surrender it to all that I know about God. And we find lordship is when Jesus himself sits on the throne of our heart and he has ownership rights to our life and our future. Joseph did that, and God just blessed him going forward. And so the lordship of Christ is key for God to fulfill his promises to us. So Isaiah, I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. Now Psalm 24:1, in your notes, let's read it together. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. We understand that God the Lord made everything. There's galaxies, there's planets, there's billions of stars. And the word says that the earth is the Lord's, planet earth, and everything in it, that's us, the world and all who live in it. We understand his lordship in the big picture. But I want to talk about lordship in a different way today. I want to talk about the lordship of Christ in an individual's life. And we find here that in 2 Peter, Peter writes, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I want to do. We've heard of Jesus being a Savior. We also say he's a Lord. And I want to talk about the difference between the two. You see, a Savior is one who delivers us and rescues us from sin. And so Jesus is our Savior when we believe upon him for the forgiveness of sins. When we're born again, when we're saved, when we invite Christ into our life, when we ask him to forgive us of all of our sins, when we repent, he becomes our Savior. Peter also says, grow in the knowledge of him being Lord, not just Savior. So what is the difference? The lordship of Christ is when he takes a certain place in our life where he's the master and the director of everything in our life, as opposed to just being the Savior. So I have 3 pictures I want to share with you that hopefully gives you a visual of the difference between Savior and Lord. Here they are. I want you to notice where the cross is. Christ is outside of a person's life. I mean, everybody's born without Christ. We're sinful people. And so when we're born, we need a Savior. And so all of us start here. Now, notice the chair. It's got an S on it. And this is self. This is when you and I are in charge. We just do what we want in life. It's my life, and I do what I want. Christ is still outside my life, but self is on the throne room chair. So my interests are directed by self, resulting in discord and frustration. A lot of the woes of America and even in Walton, New York, are because self is on the throne of people's hearts. Christ is outside of the life, waiting to come in. But the self-centered life, we all start there. I did, you did, and it's when we just direct our own life. But let's go to the next slide. I want you to notice where the cross is. The cross, Jesus, is inside the circle. He has become a savior to this person's life. You know what that means? You go to heaven. It's a gift. And Jesus, when we believe upon him, he comes to live in our life, and we are rescued and delivered from sin itself. He's inside our life. Life can get better. It's good. But I want you to notice the S that is still on the chair. S stands for self. And this is when a person who's a believer has still got self on the throne room chair. Now, how can that be? It can be. We've all lived that. I have. In other words, Jesus is in my life, but my life can still be a mess. You know people like that. I've been one of those. You know me. I mean, I have to say, I've been amazed as I've talked with different people, even as I visited people with drug addiction. And I mean, they're in bondage to it. I'd have a conversation with them at ATP or someplace, and they would share with me how their faith is really alive. You know, Christ is in my life. They grew up that way. They've had an experience of Christ. Christ is on the inside of the circle. But you know what? They're still addicted. They're still addicted to something. You see, we all have this stage of development, and all of us go through it. Jesus is in our life as Savior, but S, self, is still on the chair, the throne room chair. That's why you look at people's lives, and some of them, they say, yeah, I'm a believer, I believe Jesus, and so forth, but their life is chaos. It's because he's in their life, but he's not on the throne room chair yet. And so we have to be compassionate to other people that are still a work in progress. After all, aren't we? And we just have to extend grace and live grace because, hey, we have issues in life too. But make allowance for people that have Jesus in their life. He's their Savior, but they haven't got their life together yet to a place where it's healthy and it's good. And you can see on both sides the different things that kind of play out. I remember as a high school kid, I was saved. I asked Christ into my life. But as I journeyed through, my heart was still divided. He wasn't on the chair. He wasn't on the throne of my heart. And I remember going to a Bible school, and there was a message given. To come and pray. And at the conclusion of it, I walked to the front, and I knelt down and I prayed, and it was a battle, but I said, Lord, I believe in, and something happened that night where Jesus got on the throne room, my chair. Up to that point, he wasn't there. He was in my life. But that's what a divided heart is all about. And God is saying, if you want the best version of you going forward, let Jesus sit on the chair because he is the Lord and the master that can make amazing things happen in our life. Okay, here's the last picture. Notice where the cross is. The cross is on the chair. That's the throne room of your heart. That's your centerpiece. That's your cockpit. That's where you make decisions. Christ is on the throne. Notice where self is. Self is yielding to Christ continually. And the interests of your life are directed by Christ, resulting in harmony with God's plan. You want the best that God has for you? Let Him, Jesus, be on the throne room of your heart. You know what that means? You surrender all you know about yourself to all you know about God. And when you come to that place of surrender and commitment, let me tell you, the peace, the joy, the sense of blessing is multiplied because He then becomes the Lord of your life, not just the Savior. And so, wow, point number one, lordship happens when I surrender all I know about myself, the good and the bad, every room of my heart, to all that I know about God, and say, I want Jesus sitting on the throne room chair of my life. Point number two. The second truth about the lordship of Christ is this. Under the lordship of Christ, there is an appointed time for the fulfillment of His promises. There's an appointed time that God will do things for you that could not be done otherwise. Isaiah says, I am the Lord in its time. Circle those three words. In its time, I will do this swiftly. In the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk's a little frustrated because he hasn't seen God work the way he wanted Him to work. And he's a little bit lamenting. He's saying, well, God, what's up here? And God responds to him. So let's read this text together. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Here's what it's saying. Has God given you a promise or an instinct of what He wants to do in your life or in your family or for a loved one, and it hasn't happened yet? I think we all have that. We have things that we want to see God work, and we thought that this is what He said. It's like a revelation. He showed it to you in your spirit. It's a promise. Habakkuk says, it's for an appointed time. Now, this is where life gets tricky because God gives us a promise, but it's not always in the timetable we think. And we have to wait or there's a delay. And we find that Habakkuk says, okay, write it down. Wait for the appointed time. It speaks of an end, something to come. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and not delay. Here's a statement I want you to fill in your notes. The key is not to run ahead or to lag behind, but to walk in step with Him. If you want the greatest blessing of God in your life, don't run ahead of Him. Don't lag behind, but try and stay in step with Him. Read with me Galatians 5:25 on the back of your notes. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, we are in sync with the lordship of God Himself for Him to live His life through us and in us. Now, I have messed up many times in my life. I'm going to tell you about one, and I think I've shared this before. I'm in college, and I'm at a Bible school, and I felt God prompt me. I was going to go to another school. And so I made plans to transition. It was in the fall. It was like November, December, and I'm going to go to another school for January the next semester. And the closer and the deeper I got into the month of November, it just wasn't falling into place. I was planning to change in January. And the closer I got, here's what happened. I had the wrong time. I was getting out ahead. It wasn't for January, it was for the next fall. And so I had to backpedal. And I told people I'm going, but I ended up staying for another semester at that school. And I had to go talk to people and say, well, I thought God said it, but I got the wrong timing. And then I went in the following fall. But here's the point. The timing of when we want God to work may not be our timing. And we have to stay in step, in sync. Don't get ahead. Don't lag behind. But try and walk in sync with what God is showing us. I've got some slides I want to show you. Here's the first one. Trust in God's timing. It's better to wait a while and have things fall into place than to rush and have things fall apart. You know, there's some examples in the Bible of rushing ahead. Abraham and Sarah were promised a child. They couldn't have children. They're up in years. And years clock by and there's no child. And so, you know what they did? They hatched a plan. Sarah, wife of Abraham, says, hey, why don't you go to my handmaiden, Hagar? Have a child. That's the way I think God will make it happen. They were trying to help God out. And so Abraham went unto Hagar. She conceived, they had a child. Let me tell you, huge mistake. Huge mistake. They got ahead of God. You see, you and I have to be careful. We don't run ahead. We don't want to lag behind, but we want to stay in step. Here's another picture, or a picture that you might be in this place today. You got a big decision. Maybe it's about a boyfriend or girlfriend. Maybe it's about marriage. Maybe it's about what do I do with my life? A job change. And do I act now or do I wait on God? And it's a teetering act. It's a balancing act. And Paul says, we live by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. The danger? Wow, don't run ahead. I tell you, I've gone ahead of God at different times in my life, and it's a lousy place to be. It really is. And you just try and walk in step with him, and that's when he blesses. Here's a final quote on this point. God's timing is always perfect. Read with me the last six words. Trust his delays. He's got you. Listen, you may be here today and you're in a delay zone. You've been wanting something to happen so bad in your life and you say, God, what? You're in a delay zone. God's timing is perfect. He's got you. You gotta walk it forward. Don't rush ahead. Don't lag behind. Listen to his voice. Keep in step or in sync with him. Because when you live under the lordship of Christ, listen, there's an appointed time that God will choose to make it happen. And so, number one, lordship is when I surrender all I know about myself to all I know about God. Number two, under his lordship, there's an appointed time for the fulfillment of his promises in your life. And by the way, if you want your best life ever, you literally get under his lordship. Because when you do that and he's on the throne room chair of your life, let me tell you, that's where stuff happens. That's exciting. That's where life is fulfilled. That's where, I tell you, love abounds. You have great peace. You have joy. You're excited about life. You know why? The lordship of Christ. He can do things that I can't do for myself. Point number three. Under the lordship of Christ, God can do more in a day than we can do in a decade. Read with me again, Isaiah 60:22 in your notes. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. Circle the word swiftly. You know what that means? Really quick. I mean, when God does something swiftly, it's an amazing thing. I look back and when we built this facility and the people walked together, we just tried to stay in step and took a couple years to get this done. And then about 5 years, the second half, and we waited for financial provision so we could do it debt-free. And there was unity and there was a sense of blessing. And we tried to live under his lordship and it just kind of all worked out. But he can do something swiftly and quickly in your life if you're waiting for him under his lordship to pull something off. In Ezekiel, I, the Lord, have spoken. The time has come for me to act. You may not have seen God act in that particular area just yet. But listen, give it time. Because when he shows up and he does it, he can do it swiftly. Let me give you a couple examples. I talked about Joseph, one of my favorite stories. He ascended from the prison to the palace in one day. You know, Pharaoh got wind that this guy could interpret dreams and they said, go get him. And so he was in prison. And they cleaned him up, they shaved him, gave him clean clothes. He went to the palace in one day. And you know what happened? As I mentioned earlier, he became the number two person in Egypt because he was the administrator over the 7 years of plenty and then the 7 years of famine, and he just oversaw the whole thing. But let me tell you, he did that happened in one day, his position elevation. You know how long he waited? 13 years. Think about it. 13 years he waited. He got bounced around in unfairness, but he kept his heart clear and clean, and it prepared him for greatness so that when the day came, he went from the prison to the palace in one day. And God can do things swiftly. You may be in the waiting period of 13 years. I don't know. You're in a zone. You're in a stage where, God, did you really say this to me? Can I believe this? Can I trust you? You know what it is? You're just walking forward. Keep your heart right under his lordship. When he does what he wants to do, he can do it swiftly and quickly. Here's another example. Moses. Remember the burning bush? I mean, what an amazing experience. God speaks to him out of a burning bush. And you know the story. He says, Moses, I want you to be the deliverer. And he kind of balked. And finally, he reluctantly yielded. And he became the amazing prophet to lead the people out of the land of Egypt. But do you know how long he prepared for that? 40 years. 40 years. Do you think during that 40-year period, he ever got the itch of saying, God, wow, I wish my life was a little bit more than what it is? 40 years, and then one day, God steps into it, into his life, and says, hey, it's go time. It's time to take action. It's time to, I'm coming down to deliver my people, and I want to use you. Moses, you're the least. You listen to Moses' excuses. He stuttered. He couldn't speak, and send somebody else. He was battling like Gideon. God, I'm the weakest. I'm the least. Why do you pick me? But listen, God saw potential in Moses that maybe nobody else did. He sees potential in you, and nobody else sees it. And so if you're in a waiting period, wait it out. There will come a day when he'll act swiftly. Pentecost, another example. You know, Jesus has gone back to heaven, and he says, wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. And so 120 people spent about 10 days together in prayer. And the Holy Spirit came and just filled the place. 3,000 people were saved, added to the kingdom in one day. That's a pretty big deal, 3,000. And so when God shows up, he can do it swiftly, he can do it quickly, and it just happens. Here's a quote. Pray until your situation changes. Miracles happen every day. So never stop believing. God can change things very quickly in your life. He can do more in a day than we can do in a decade. But you know what the secret is? The Lordship of Christ, because there's an appointed time. And when we give him all we know about ourselves to all that we know about him, let me tell you, Jesus is on the throne room chair of our life. Here's a final slide for this point. I love this. When it's not God's time, you can't force it. When it is God's time, you can't stop it. Don't force it. And when the right time comes, you can't stop it. Isn't that great? And you know why? The Lordship of Christ rules our hearts. And we just walk in step with him, and he does amazing things. Let's read together as we conclude here, wrap up. The verse again, Isaiah 60, 22. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. How do you get to be a thousand when you start with the least? The Lordship of Christ. How do you get to be a mighty nation when you start smaller than average? You're a dot. The Lordship of Christ. And so God instructs us, hey, here's a promise, and it's all about the Lordship of Christ. I have two points of application as I wrap up this morning. The first point is this. I want to talk about the church. I did some research, and the largest church in America at this point is Lakewood Church, Joel Osteen. It's over 43,000 people, started in 1959. It's apparently the largest church in America. The second largest is North Point Church, Community Church, Andy Stanley, started it in 1995. I guess they have over 30,000 people. I mean, there's mega churches out there. But you know what? They started as the least. And they started like a dot. They started as a maybe very small, and God bless them. I was reading about Tony Evans, and he's the pastor at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, started in 1976, and now in 2022, there's over 10,000 people. I mean, that's kind of the larger end or the upper end of churches that grown large. But let me tell you, God can take a small church and grow it by hundreds. He can take us, and when you get under his lordship, he says, I can just bless a group of people if they surrender all they know about themselves, all they know about him, and he can just bless it going forward. So here's my point for the church. We just will offer ourselves to God. You know what? We feel like a dot. As a church, we're small compared to a lot of others. But listen, all God needs is a dot to start. That's all he needs. But you know what he needs to make it happen? He needs people under his lordship. So as a church, when we think about the last 15, 20 years in the building program, it's been amazing. You know why I think it was blessed? The Lordship of Christ. The group of people that were leaders and the decision makers just wanted what God wanted. We tried to keep Jesus on the throne room chair of the church. And so going forward in 2022, that's what we want to do. Live under his lordship, knowing that there's an appointed time where he can make things happen very quickly and swiftly. We just need to prepare for it. So next week's message is going to be in this growth of the church theme, but it's going to be a little different. It's going to be what you and I have to do to our part of it for God to bless us. But understand, it begins with this thing called lordship, and we want him to be Lord of the church, the board, all the ministry leaders. We just want him in that chair because he can do amazing things. The second point of application is this. I want to talk about the lordship of Christ in your individual life. And that means that where is he at in the circle of my heart? You know, if we're a believer, he's on the inside of the circle. But what is on the chair? Is it S, which is self, and he's my Savior, I'm going to heaven, I believe who he is, or is he my Lord? Is he actually sitting there in the Lordship seat which directs my life? Because when you and I get him into that place, that's when amazing things happen in our life. He just takes over the ownership rights and he directs our path. We give him every closet, every room in our heart, the areas that are good, the areas that are bad. Say, here it is. Be Lord of my individual life. And you know when that happens? You and I become the best version of ourselves that we were created to be. Because then God has great rights to our life. And he can do amazing things in us and through us. So as we kind of come to the close of this message, here's the question. You know, where's he at in my individual life? Is he sitting on the chair? Have I yielded that to him? Or is he in my life somewhere? He's my Savior, but he's not yet my Lord. And when we let him become Lord, amazing things happen. You see, God can take one individual life like Joseph. He's a dot. And just bless it. But you know what he can do when he takes a collection of people that are collective dots? Say 50. Can you imagine what God can do with 50 people who are individually surrendered to the Lordship of Christ, and he puts them together? You know what he'll do? He will drop an assignment into that church and do amazing things through it, all because he's Lord, and we're just following him and trying to stay in step with him. That's the excitement of 2022. Surrender all we know about ourselves to God. That's Lordship. There's an appointed time that he will answer our prayers. We just got to wait for it and trust the delays. Number three, when he acts, pavilion, building two, whatever, growth of the church. When he acts, he does more in a day than we can do in a decade, because it says, I will do this swiftly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you and those watching online, and we just want to give you our hearts. We just surrender every room, every compartment, every aspect of our life. We yield it. And we want to get self off the throne chair. And we want to get the cross, Jesus himself, on the chair so he can be the Lord, the master, the ruler, the director of our life going forward. Father, I pray for the people here today that have been waiting a long time for you to fulfill a promise that you gave them in their life. I pray you'll help them to trust you in the delays. It's okay. Joseph experienced that 13 years worth. But Lord, I pray you'll show us that when you come to act, wow, nobody can stop it. Because you're God and you're Lord and you're on our side and you're for us and you want to do the miracle that you can do in us and through us that we cannot do ourselves. So, Father, in this sacred moment, we just open our hearts to you and we yield. We submit. And we confess we just need you. Forgive us of trying to direct our own life. May you be Lord of our life from this moment forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.